Aleph Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Monday the 23rd of April, Rabbi Moshe Yehuda Turner, the Lord's Zone, happy goodbyes.
Morning, Gezoch, Chodesh. Firstly, I'd like to say, Rishus, my father-in-law, and all of you who made the effort, it's an honour and a privilege for me to stand here, a place where many Anashim Gedolim, Chachomim, Nevoinim have stood. It's difficult for me to explain how much I benefit from the Torah Way. I live in Bnei Brak. I've got friends who download regularly shiurim from the Torah Way. I've got a friend who tells me when he can't fall asleep, it's the Torah Way that puts him to sleep. It's amazing. We think it's boiled down to one base of Medrash, but it's worldwide. It's interesting. It's fascinating. There's a difference. There's a change. A great shout to all of you and the organizers for this tremendous chesed in Torah. The title, slightly ambiguous, The Luzburn and Happy Goodbyes. When we were learning Parshas Lech Lecha, I came across a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, and the Medrash explains the following story. It's a Medrash in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says as follows. He says there was a man walking in the wilderness, and he's traveling, he's thirsty, he's interested, he's concerned, where's he going to get food or drink from? In the distance, he sees beyond the sand dunes, he sees something resembling some kind of binyan and inhabitants. And he starts making his way forward, closer and closer, and he sees that there is actually a building there. There's actually someone who has made the effort to build something here in a place which we refer to as an oasis. He gets closer and closer, and actually he sees coming out of the top of the building smoke. As he comes closer, assuming it was a chimney, he gets closer and he realizes, no, actually it's not true, the building's on fire. He gets closer and closer, and putting the fire to one side, he controls and he concentrates actually on the building, and he sees the building is magnificent. This building has got different wings, the color scheme, the gardens outside in the front, the windows, the architecture is something out of this world. He comes closer and closer, and he starts getting more and more concerned about the fire, and he realizes the following: someone definitely built this building. But it's on fire. Obviously, the owner is not here anymore. Adkan the Medrash says the Medrash. Rabbi Yitzchok says that that's what Avraham Avinu did in this world. He went around the world and he saw this place is magnificent. This place is awesome. Number one, there must be someone who created this place. I'm saying the Medrash according to the Eitz Yosef, one of the Mefarshei HaMedrash, which basically, actually, this morning as we were saying, Baruch Hinashi. It's amazing when you look through Baruch Hinashi. That's really what Baruch Hinashi is telling us. And on Rosh Chodesh, we look through and we see the world, the renewal of the world. That's what Rosh Chodesh is all about. And you see that this place is magnificent, nothing less than a miracle. So that was his first result. His first recognition was there must be a creator. This fellow, coming back to our story, he was standing at this building, which is this palace, which he thought was on fire and he thought was left neglected. Suddenly he sees a guy coming out and he says to him as follows. He says, you should know, I know it's on fire, it's my palace, but there's a reason why I'm not putting out the fire. Says the Eitz Yosef, explaining the Medrash, that that's what Avraham Avinu said when he saw Schar V'Oinosh in this world. He saw that the world is magnificent, but there's still things which go wrong. There can be earthquakes, there can be tsunamis, there can be pain for good people, etc. And he came to conclusion number two, that it's true this place must have been created by someone, and that someone also chose to give Schar V'Oinosh or Kilkul, whatever the case may be. So in other words, these were the two insights of Avraham Avinu in Emunah and Betachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you look around the world, it shouts there's a creator, it shouts there's a Borei. Now when I heard that, at the time I was learning Gemara Chulin, those who were doing Dachayomi, and it was just fascinating when you see the insides of the body of the animal. And I realized that perhaps we can do the same using technology and using knowledge which we know, using medical books, etc. And we can do what Avraham did with the world. Perhaps we can also try to learn a bit more about the human body. And that set me on a slight tangent looking at different parts of the human body, which were fascinating. And I ended up at one particular share I gave was on the human spine, which was tremendous. And I'd like today to talk about one part of the human spine, which is quite mystical, not so biological, but a tremendous lesson for us on a daily basis, various halachas which come out of it, which perhaps we tend to neglect, and perhaps connect it up with Rosh Chodesh. Incidentally, Rav Miller Zatzal from Gateshead, famous Rav Miller, he said that it's a person's duty to concentrate on one specific part of the human body and regularly think about it and be mispoining about it and realize Nifloi Sabiri. He said, I particularly chose the brain. And he told a friend of mine that Likras Seif Yomo, toward the end of his life, his body was slowly slowing down, speech was even difficult, his walking was difficult, but one thing which remained was he had a complete clarity of brain. His senses, his mind was perfect. And he said to this friend of mine that Zalei Bichti, this is not by chance. With advanced technology, it's interesting because we tend to think that as technology advances, so humans are becoming more powerful, but in fact it's the opposite. And I noticed, take a simple example. Chas v'shalom, some of you know, but going through a process called dialysis is physically, emotionally, mentally it's breaking. It's three times a week, perhaps for hours, and it's a machine this big to replace something which the Ribbono Shel Olam created, the size of 3 centimeters, the kidneys. In other words, as technology is tremendous that we can do things perhaps which we never were able to do, on the contrary, I think it's an opportunity for us to realize how vast the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Let's now home in on the spine, home in on the luz bone. A vital part of the spine, where it is, we'll see there's three opinions, is the luz bone. The luz bone is the bone which in Chazal is referred to as the seed of Tzias HaMeisim. That is, from that point, the body, so to speak, in Olam HaEmes, Lasid Lavoi, will be recreated. We'll see in a minute, that's very important, because when I was preparing this shiur, I was thinking, why is that necessary? I mean, surely that could be... Why does the seed of Tzias HaMeisim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kol Yochel, he can do everything. He doesn't need to have in the human body something minute, which Chazal referred to as a shokhed, the size of an almond, some say a chitah, even smaller. Why does that have to be there? I think the explanation to that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam, from the time of Briyas HaOlam, does not create something me'ayim. There's no such thing anymore as yesh me'ayim. This is explanation number one. In other words, something of us has to be there for the recreation of Tzias HaMeisim. Explanation number two, which I saw, if I'm not mistaken, in the name of Elimelech, is that otherwise what's the connection to us? If it's us who are meant to be going through that transition to Tzias HaMeisim, and there's nothing left, it's a completely new creation, so where is that original person in the big picture? But let's zoom in now a bit more clearly on the shedra. Chazal, I said to you, refer to it as the shokhed in Sifri Kabbalah. They call it a shokhed. The position, very briefly, the position where it is, the Arizal, Mekisri Arizal, the grandfather of the Chidah, Rabbi Avraham Azulai, they both hold that it's at the top of the spine, which the Arizal says it's the Makom Kesher Shel Tefillin, where we put our tefillin, where the knot is at the back. That's this mystical, special place in the body, this bone. That's the position. There's another opinion that's actually slightly lower. It's called C7, and those are medically attuned, cervical 7, which, as we bend our head, there's one bone in the vertebrae, one vertebrae which protrudes slightly. That's opinion number 2, and opinion number 3, just for a bit of a slight understanding, and this is on the basis of the Tanchuma, the Rikanti, the Rikeach, various the Kabbalah Svarim, the Sefer Miyuchas Lerashi on the Medrash, and the Aruch. They both say it's at the spine, they all say it's at the base of the spine, the tail of the spine. Okay, just for those who want a slight understanding of where this is, but it's a vital part of our makeup. Says the Medrash, fascinating Medrash, a Medrash Rabbah, Hadrian the Great, a king of Edom, very powerful. He was a mass murderer. He killed, the Chazal referred to it as 800 million people. Obviously that's an exaggeration, but he caused rivers of blood. He was very, very powerful. He conquered the whole world. He went around the whole world. He ended up in Rome, and he said, "My dear Romans, I am the most powerful man in the world. Please make me a god. Please make me a god. Make me an Elohim." And they said, "I'm sorry, but there's one place you haven't yet conquered, and that is Yerushalayim, and that is the house of Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash. So I'm sorry, but till then, there's someone still more powerful." He went to Yerushalayim, he conquered Yerushalayim, he killed another few thousand people, came back to Rome and he made the same request. After this, he met Rabbi Shlomo ben Chananya. In Chazal, there's many discussions between Hadrian and Rabbi Shlomo ben Chananya. One is this fascinating medrash. He said, where will the Rabbeinu Shlomo begin at Tchiyas HaMeisim from? Rabbi Shlomo ben Chananya said to him, from a small bone called the Luz. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm telling you, bring me a Luz bone and I'll show you. He brings him a bone, this mass murderer, he had access. Bring me a bone. He brought him a bone and he put it through a mill. The mill shattered, the bone stayed intact. He put it in water, he put it in fire, he put it on an anvil, he smashed it with a hammer, the anvil shattered, the hammer shattered, the bone stayed intact. This diamond, so to speak, the Yavitch refers to it as a snapir, a sapphire stone, something particularly powerful, particularly strong. So Rabbi Shlomo Chananya, that's where Tchiyas HaMeisim will be from. A short, small insight, perhaps, pshat in this medrash, I think it's a beautiful idea. Rabbi Shlomo Chananya, this mass murderer, he comes to Rabbi Shlomo Chananya thinking, the man you're talking to is Mr. Powerful. I am the man who controls the world. In fact, I'm even a step ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, I've killed thousands of people, I've ground their bones. There's nothing left of them. There's not going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim anymore. Game's over. I am in charge. Rabbi Shlomo Chananya said to him, no, you're making a mistake. In other words, the dialogue here between Rabbi Shlomo Chananya and Hadrian was perhaps a dialogue of power. Is there a Rabbeinu Shlomo? Is there not a Rabbeinu Shlomo? Rabbi Shlomo Chananya wiped the floor with him, so to speak, by this small Luz bone. And he said, no, there's one small bone that you've ignored and you haven't noticed. And the Rabbeinu Shlomo is a step ahead of you. I think that's perhaps a beautiful pshat in the Medrash. But you see clearly from here that there is a physical bone called the Luz bone. How do we give nourishment to this Luz bone? So for here we come on to Shabbat Alechet, brought in the Beis Yosef, which is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin, which is a one-line halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And it says, the Lo'ilam Yisader Adam Shulchonei B'matzah Shabbos, a person should be careful always to have Melava Malka. The halacha of Melava Malka. It's brought in the Mishnah Berurah, the Matim Moshe also mentions it. Says the Eli Rabba, explaining this Shabbat Alechet, the Shabbat Alechet says that the Melava Malka is the meal which gives nourishment to the Luz bone. Says the Eli Rabba, why is that so? So he says, because the Luz bone, seeing as it only receives nourishment from a meal on Matzah Shabbos, it means that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDas, and he got a klala of Ofar Asor, you are dust and you'll return to dust, that did not apply to this bone. Because this bone doesn't get nourishment from the food of Friday. And when Adam HaRishon ate from that apple or whatever, or the esrog or the ta'ina or whatever it was on a Friday. And nothing of that went to the Luz bone, so it didn't get any kilkel. Says the Eli Rabba, brought in Shariti and in the Mishnah Berurah, that's the reason why this bone is going to be the bone which can last even after Misa and help us towards Tchiyas HaMeisim. It turns out as follows. It turns out that in our lifetime we've got this very small bone, which is perhaps negligible, doesn't do anything. So it looks like mace. But la'acha misa, when everything else is mace, it is the only one which is still chai. And perhaps over here we can just add, if today's Rosh Chodesh, perhaps it's appropriate to add, the Svarim HaKdoshim, including the Yavetz, they say that Melava Malka, which many of us know, is corresponding to David HaMelech. It's called Sudas David Mashiach. And so the Yavetz, and in fact I saw this in Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, interestingly enough, David HaMelech had the same comparison as this Luz bone in his lifetime. His whole life was terrible. He was chased by his own children, he was chased by his friends, he was chased by people more powerful than him. He was a nirdaf his whole life. Nevertheless, Besoif Yomov, La'acha Misa, he is going to be the one who will be involved in the Mevaser Toiv, bringing Tchiyas HaMeisim. In other words, it turns out again that the Chayov, he was Meis, but Moisa, he's the one who's still Chay. Says the Yaivat, that's the Shem Shavuot Hash, but says the Yaivat, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, that we say every Kiddush Levana is for that purpose. It's not a pasuk, it doesn't come anywhere other than a Chazal that we should say it in Kiddush Levana. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, it seems like it's not true. What do you mean? He's not alive. David Melech is not alive. He's immortal. But no, he's Chai V'Kayam because he's going to be the one. Says the Be'er Moshe, for those who like a bit of maths and a bit of gematria, says the Be'er Moshe that Zalei Bechdi, it's not for nothing, that the gematria of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam is the same gematria as Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh has the same comparison. The moon, it waxes and it wanes. Also, it looks like it's gone, but it's not. It's going to come back in full glory, which compares to Klal Yisrael, which we follow the moon cycle. Just an interesting David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam on Rosh Chodesh, comparing it to the Luzburn. But one question which is important to answer is, why should this Melech Malka? Why should the Luzburn, which is responsible for 3,000 amazing people, have Malka? I mean, I explained to you the Eliyahu Rava, who says because it wasn't involved in Friday, the Friday meal of Adam HaRishon. But what about Shabbos meals? I mean, Shabbos meals are far more Kaddish than that. Far more Kaddish than Melech Malka. In fact, in Halacha, we'll see perhaps that it's not as much of a chiyuv as the Shabbos meal. Someone who's only got money for one of the two, Shabbos meals is based on a pasuk. Melech Malka is not. Melech Malka is more perhaps Kabbalistic, we should say. So the question which I'd just like to mention is, what's so special about Siddhas Melech Malka? To answer that, I'd like to read to you a few psukim in Shoftim. These psukim are after Sefer Yeshua. We're moving into Sefer Shoftim. It's in the first parak of Shoftim, parak Aleph, psukim Chof Beis, perhaps till Chof Vav. Bnei Yosef have arrived in Eretz Yisrael together with their brothers, and it's their turn to conquer their properties. So the psukim as follows: Vayasiru Beis Yosef Beis Hail. They come to a place called Beis Hail, which is meant to be part of their land in Eretz Yisrael, and they come to a place called Luz. So here I have to give you a slight introduction. The place called Luz was very difficult to enter for some reason. Although Abba Rabbanel said that it wasn't so difficult, but they wanted to try and get through the back door. But for some reason they were not able to conquer this place called Luz. So what they did, they waited. They waited outside till a man came out and they said to him, excuse me, how do we get into the town? They saw a man coming out. Show us the entrance. They showed him. In fact, they had guaranteed him, show us the entrance. And we'll do for you a kindness that will keep you alive, even though we kill all of them. And Chazal say he pointed with his little finger. Some say he winked with his eye in the right direction, but he did a very small act. And he was zeicher that the whole town was wiped out. This is the continuation of the psukim. And he went to a place called Chittim, not the Chittim in the Torah, a different Chittim. And he built an ir called Luz, which is the name of that town till today. So we've spoken about the Berlin Luz, now we're talking about the place called Luz. And he lived in a place called Luz, that place was wiped out, he went to Chittim and he rebuilt a place called Luz. That place called Luz, say Chazal, had a miraculous element to it, that anyone who lived there was able to fight against the Malach HaMavet and, so to speak, live for very, very long times, until Chazal tell us people who got too old and became a bit of a burden on the town, they pushed them out the door and game was over. But that's this place Luz. It was a tremendous chus. What did he do? He was zeicher to build a town. The Marshal says, interesting, he went to Eretz HaChittim. HaChittim is Oseis HaMeis Chai. That's the place which he built. He built a place called Meis Chai. But what did he do to be zeicher to such a tremendous thing? Says the Chazal, says the Gemara in Seita Daf Memvav on the base. The Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Egla Rufa and the halacha that if we find someone unfortunately who's been killed outside the town, what the Beis Din are meant to do in each town, Egla Rufa. Says the Gemara, Tanya, coming on to a completely different mitzvah, there's a mitzvah called Levoya. Someone is in town, they're leaving town. I stress leaving town because the Pasha's leaving your house. If you've got someone on Friday night and they're leaving your house to go back home, the Pasha's no mitzvah Levoya, but someone is leaving town. There's a mitzvah to be Melava them. The mitzvah to be Melava them, it continues the Gemara, we can learn from this story. Said the Gemara, what did he do? Ikim be'etzbo, be'etzboi, Ikim be'enov. What did he do already? But he was zeicher that loy ul zarai, he should have longevity in a way which never existed and never, perhaps never will in such a way. One town, specifically. Says Chazal, you see from there, and if I can find it, says the Gemara v'halei dvarim kal v'chomer. Uma kenani ze. This non-Jewish kenani. Shaloi diber b'piv. He didn't say anything because he was scared that he'd be caught as a spy or a traitor. Loi holach b'ragav. He didn't even go with his feet. Goram hatzola loy olazaria hatzis kol hadayrais. Look what he got for himself. Mishaisa levoya b'ragav v'alachas kama v'kama. Someone who can make this few steps. Chazal tell us it's meant to be at least four amas to be melava. Someone who's leaving town. Tremendous what his schar is going to be. This Gemara is stressing the importance of mitzvahs levoya. The basic havana in mitzvahs levoya is because it gives someone a feeling that they are valued. If, for example, I'm out of town and I'm staying in someone's house and I leave and no one says goodbye to me in a way which is warm enough to affect me and keep me emotionally stable, my trip is going to be dangerous. Explain the Mefarshim, I think the Mashal as well, that the reason why this fellow was killed is because he didn't have the stamina, he didn't have the willpower to fight against those bandits that came against him, because he felt no one cares about me anyway. The Chashiva submits Levoya, the Chashiva coming back to the happy goodbyes, is actually something which gives a person an emotional standing. It's a mitzvah, and it's a chiyuv which no less this guy was zeicha to, for doing it even with a finger or even with an eye, helping a person with directions, and he was zeicha to loyal lezare atzev kol aderes. Connecting this up with mitzvahs levoya on Matzah Shabbos, we've got a mitzvah on Matzah Shabbos called Melava Malka. Melava Malka is the one suda on Shabbos which we eat perhaps when we've got a full stomach, which we eat perhaps when we're not as keen to eat. But that is the one suda which shows that we really value that the Queen was in our house over Shabbos. And we're willing to make that extra mile, so to speak, to walk out with the Queen. And in Halacha, without going into it in great length, and I'll try to skip perhaps the Mara Mekremes, but it's a Gemara in Shabbos, the Lo'ilam Yisada Adam Shulchanai, on Matzah Shabbos, like on Shabbos. And what's interesting is that the Chidushi Harim, the original Ger Rebbe, he said that there's two simonim in Shulchan Aruch which have only one sif, which talk about meals. There's perhaps another few which have one sif, but we talk about meals. There's one which is Simon Shin, which talks about Melava Malka, and there's another one which is Simon Tof Yotes, which is Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Now on Rosh Chodesh there's an Indian to have an extra soda, so there's all going home before they go to work to add an extra piece of salami in the sandwich or something. But there's an Indian to have an extra special soda on Rosh Chodesh. And so the Chiddush HaRim, it's not for nothing, but it's a sif, the Shulchan Aruch decided that it's worth a sif on its own. Because it's a halach which is very often ignored. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that Elio HaNovi, when he was on Har HaKarmel with fighting against the Baal and the Talmidei HaBaal, he said, Admosai atem poischem al shtei asifim, says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that it's referring to us perhaps, he's a remed, Admosai atem poischem al shtei asifim, how long is it going to take that we keep on jumping over these two seifim? There's one seif about Sudas Melava Malka, there's one seif about Sudas Rosh Chodesh, perhaps to make a more of an effort to be mekayim there. The choiva is less, we said, than the other Sudas on Shabbos. If one can't, then the minimum is at least to lay the table, put a tablecloth on, put candles on. The stoke used to have a table. After Shabbos, he took off his tablecloth underneath. There was a tablecloth waiting for Melava Malka, not to leave the table uncovered. Preferably, it should be with wearing big day Shabbos. The special zemiras, extra zemiras, we said it's meant to be corresponding to David HaMelech. So that perhaps also explains why there's extra zemiras. David HaMelech was the Mashiach. It's a halacha which applies no less to women than to men. And for two specific reasons. One specific reason we said is because it's that meal which nourishes the luzbon for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Obviously that applies to women as well. Another reason, and this comes from a Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech says, and this is a famous segula for childbirth, that it helps an easy childbirth to be makbid on Sudas Melava Malka. That's what the Noam Elimelech says. The explanation, L'chor, is very simple. If we said that the luzbon got nourishment from Sudas Melava Malka and not from the Friday eating of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, and therefore was not included in the Gezerah of Afa Toshu, so therefore also was not included in the Tzar of Leda, which was the klal of Chava, and that's a famous scholar for easy childbirth. On Matzah Yom Tov, some say yes, some say no. The Chazanish was makbid on Matzah Yom Tov. If someone was mekabel tanis, then like we said, they should still lay the table. Nevertheless, the Vilna Gaon says that if you're Mekabel Tanis, it doesn't work. You cannot be Mekabel Tanis if it's going to clash with Melava Malka. His wife, not known to the Gaon, his wife was once Mekabel Tanis on Shabbos. Now, from what to Shabbos she's fasting. Whatever reason, she had a chalim, I don't know what the reason was. And she went to bed having skipped Melava Malka, and the Gaon sent for her to be woken up in order to have Melava Malka, because perhaps it's something along the lines of Masnal Mashiach Kasa Batera sort of thing. there's a halacha, you've got to have a halacha of halacha. So he woke his wife up, to be mekayim halacha. Obviously the girl understood that his wife would be happy to be woken up for such a thing. The Kaf HaChaim says that we should say migdal, not magdil. And just very quickly, what the menu should be, preferably wash, preferably fleishig, preferably something which has been cooked that evening. This is all preferably. The minimum that it says the Mishnah Berurah is at least a mezonos, if not even that, a drink. Fruit, and if not even that, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a hot drink is enough. Because the Gemara says that hot, something warm, on Matzah Shabbos is refuah. So, we've discussed why the Luzbon, why Melavah Malka, and the Chashivas of Mitzvahs Levoya. The Chassam Sufa says that a Dovar is Nikva al Shem Sufa, that the end of something is what's Kiveya, how good it is, and that's why the whole of Shabbos, the Sufas are tremendous. Matzah Shabbos is the Levoya. And it's that Su'udah which is actually Kivea, where are we standing in our Chashivas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's that Su'udah which is responsible for the Luzburn, because the Tchias HaMesim is the follow-on. Coming back to this Luzburn, just to wrap it up, the Luzburn, we said, doesn't get nourishment from anything else, but if we show our Chashivas and Tzidus Melav HaMalka for HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in our house, that shows that ultimate connection. And that shows that even though we don't see the Rabbeinu Shlalom, even though we don't always have that feeling of we're machshiv that Siddur Rabbeinu Shleilam involved, and the Rabbeinu Shleilam says it's on the basis of that I'll be mezakeh you to that which is Tchias HaMesim, which is to be able to come back la'asid lavoi. And I'll just end, if we spoke about Melav Malka and Mitzvahs Lavoi, I'll just end with a fascinating story which I heard first hand. This story has been publicized, it's circulating, and when you hear a story which circulates and you've got access to the person involved, it's always kedai to find out what the details are. And he told me that he's heard some amazing scripts to this story which he was involved in. But the story goes actually like this. There was a Yid in B'nai Barak, I know his name is Rabbi Avram Tzvi, I'll skip his surname. Tremendous Yid, a tzaddik. He's been through a very difficult life. He was given by the Rabbeinu Shlalom a number of children who suffered from Pesachs. He's lost quite a few of them. Unfortunately, he's got, I know of at least one or two. Still with Tesach's, heartbreaking. It changes his whole life, his whole house, as we can imagine. He was advised once to take his kids to Switzerland for a bit of change of scenery, breath of fresh air, variety. They needed it. He comes to Switzerland to a place called Davos. They're staying in Davos, in a hotel in Davos, and there's another mishpacha that he actually knew from Yerushalayim. Now he knew this mishpacha from Yerushalayim are not the most comfortable sort of mishpachas, that they should be going for a weekend to Davos. And something wasn't so right. But he thought, listen, I've got my reasons, they've got their reasons. His wife was speaking to this other couple, the wife, and they were talking about their trip, etc. It came Matzah Shabbos, and it was their time to leave the hotel. Comes Matzah Shabbos, the lady at the desk goes up to this fellow, not this Rav Avram Tzvi, this other couple, and they say, I'm sorry, but you've got to be out by 12 o'clock, because when you book a hotel, it's 12 to 12. And you book it over Shabbos, not including Matzah Shabbos, it's 12 to 12. And they say, but we've got a flight at 4. What are we going to do till 4 in the morning? So I'm really sorry, but I'm not the boss, and there's nothing I can do. The rules. So this Rav Avram Tzvi comes up to this couple and he says, listen, I've got a big room, I've got two rooms for myself and the kids, come and sleep in my room 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake you up and whatever, you'll go down. They come up to the clerk, the lady at the desk, and that's what we're doing. And she says, no, I'm sorry, but you can't have that, there's a limit to how many people in a room, and I'm sorry, no, it's not my hotel. If it was my hotel, I could do what I like, I could invite you in, I could let you stay for free. The kids are, so they have to stay downstairs in the lobby till 4 o'clock in the morning, till the taxi is going to arrive to take them to the airport. Fine, they're staying there in the lobby. And here I'm going to add to you the reason for their trip. They had a daughter who was a bit wishy-washy with her kesher, with the Rabbeinu Shlalom, with Yiddishkeit. And she was ready to drop everything. In fact, she was even ready to get engaged to someone who, if I'm not mistaken, was non-Jewish. And they were advised by a chinuch specialist, take her on holiday, spend some time with her, quality time. They come to Switzerland, they're staying in the same hotel, to try and spend time with their daughter, and she's livid. Comes 12 o'clock at night, and she gets even more livid. It's Matzah Shabbos. This whole Shabbos weekend was a complete failure. It didn't work. They just end up arguing more than... It just, it wasn't working. And they were just getting very tense, and she was getting furious. 4 o'clock in the morning. Comes 4 o'clock in the morning, this Rav Bronsky told me, he always has difficulty sleeping. I'm saying, we can imagine perhaps with such children in a house, one's always tense, one never sleeps properly. He comes downstairs, he's awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, he goes downstairs to the lobby to help them out into the taxi. And he gave them a chocolate. And he said, L'chaim l'shalom, I was awake anyway, nothing to worry about, just want to help you out. A few months later, he gets an invitation to a chasana. And he phones up the person who sent the invitation and says, I don't know who you are. What's this? I mean, I know you signed it, but that's it. He says, you don't remember. A few months ago, we were together in Davos, and my daughter was livid. She was completely anti-HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was not interested anymore. Whatever I said didn't work. But 4 o'clock in the morning, you made the effort to come downstairs, you gave us a bar of chocolate. She was completely gobsmacked. In the taxi on the way to the airport, she was like completely shocked that there's a Yid who's willing to get out of bed at 4 in the morning just to help us say goodbye, because he knew that we were uncomfortable, and he gave us a bar of chocolate. And she dropped everything with the other fellow, and she's getting married, and it's in your zuchus. He said to me, he said, honestly, I was awake anyway. He said to me, this Rebbe Bronsky, what would you? But no, to make that extra effort for a Yid, to show them that we care, that is the essence of Levoya, that's the essence of happy goodbyes, that's the essence of Melav Malka with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and it will be bezchus that we will be Zoicha Mit Hashem, each and every one, to a happier Kesha with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, because we appreciate it more, and Mit Hashem Tchias HaMeisim, Lukarev V'Yomim.
Amen.